Welcome everyone to another edition of the Dress of a Watch podcast.
Hi.
Hi Nicola, how are you?
Very, very good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I see awesome. A lot of your IG videos.
Thank you. Very nice. How are you doing?
We're actually not doing in the best situation in India, but I guess it'll get better with time. We've been locked down for a very, very long time. I've even lost track of time, actually. So it's talks like that that sort of keep us going.
Yeah, I can
stay
imagine.
Connected with the outside world.
Yeah. So it's nice to have this digital interaction, I think, right?
It really is. I think just meeting people, like this is the time of the year where generally we would have met people at Baselworld and you know, Watches and Wonders now. And it's really weird for me because it's I think after 17 years, it's the first time that I have not traveled to Basel. So it feels really awkward. But I think this is such a great platform to sort of connect with everyone, even the CEOs, I think, you know, for that matter.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've been watching a lot of these live shows with the CEOs, and it's really cool that they're so open to talk about these things and to use the platform. Because I think maybe a couple of years ago, they wouldn't have, not everyone.
Definitely not. I think there is no other option. I also feel like the CEOs have gotten a bit younger.
Yeah,
so they are more receptive now to sort of, you know, connecting with their customers directly and, you know, their followers and
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yeah, very cool that you agreed to do this with me. It's always awesome to get to meet new people and, to be quite fair, we've just met the first time, and I'm really happy that you agreed to do this. I saw your talk with Christian, and I said we need to connect. I think you have an awesome story to tell.
Your talk with Christian.
I think
I gave out a little secret there, which I wasn't supposed to, but I didn't even know about it because we had that conversation after a lot of wine that night. So.
That's okay. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Nobody showed any pictures, so that's fine.
Yeah.
So very, very cool. Maybe you can start off. You already know it. I usually start off with having you tell me your first memory with watches. How did you get into it, actually?
So my story is actually, it goes back, not my story personally, but with the family, it goes back almost 65 years now.
Wow.
And it was my grandfather who sort of started the business of watch magazines in India.
Okay.
And that sort of graduated into my father getting to the business. And he started the trend of, you know, visiting Baselworld. And he was one of the first few persons from the media to be invited to Baselworld. And then, of course, SIHH. And that sort of, I think it was in our DNA. And so honestly, honest to God, I was not interested in watches when I started. I was like every other, you know, young person, completely all over the place, studied different things, didn't know what I wanted to do. And then one day I just accompanied my father to Baselworld. And I think that was it. I just fell in love with watches. And after that, I just started visiting Switzerland very often, to be honest. And I just parked myself there for months, like take an apartment, start taking the train locally and visiting different manufacturers, and not just the bigger manufacturers, but also like the smaller watchmakers.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the bargain, I got to see a lot of the smaller cities in Switzerland. People joke about this, but I actually did take this really, really small train, which I had to change thrice. And I landed in this little village. I think it was called Les Bois.
Okay.
And I actually walked through the fields, and there was just one house there, and there was one watchmaker there with his family, but they make amazing watches. The brand was Rudis Silva, I remember.
Okay.
And it's experiences like that that just got me completely addicted to finding out and knowing more about watches. I mean, I'm no expert, but I love looking at watches and understanding them, the complications, the movements. So I'm not your typical, I'm not very big on ladies' watches. I mean, if you check my page out, you probably see that. I have nothing against them, but personally, I enjoy complications. I enjoy larger dials. I enjoy the intricacies that go into watchmaking. So yeah, I mean, that being said, I sort of got introduced also to the Indies, which everyone associates me with a lot. But I love their work. I love the work that they do. Of course, the regular brands, the Zhuzhers and IWC, Panerai, Patek, Rolex, there's no taking away from them. But I think I just got extremely passionate about the kind of work that the indies put into, you know. I mean, there are no limits to their creativity. So
yeah, that's the cool thing.
Yeah, and that sort of got me intrigued, and that got me started. And then, I mean, following from there, I had my brother also got into the same space. So it's like the whole family is into watches.
Cool. That's awesome. So you're this whole crew of watch enthusiasts. I really like that. That's awesome, man.
It's fun, yeah. I mean, we talk watches a lot.
Even at home, over dinner?
Yeah. So my brother's actually in Australia, but every time we FaceTime, it's always about this watch was launched, and what do you think about that, and what do you think about this? So we're constantly talking about watches. At home,
Very nice. Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I really like that. I really like that. Do you actually remember the first watch you got or you wore?
I mean, I think like everyone, the first watch that I was got, that my father got me, I think was the Swatch, the Flick Flack, I think.
Yeah,
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
But when I actually got into the business, I think the first watch that he got me was the Rado Ceramic watch.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so unlike my style right now because it was like that tiny.
Yeah.
And it's like that tiny, and I'm like, it won't even show on my wrist anymore. But yeah, I've got memories associated with that because, it was my first proper watch, so to say.
Very cool. And thinking about, you mentioned the fairs. I've been to Basel so many times. I think it would have been the 12th or 13th year for me as well. And I really liked how the Watches and Wonders did their presentation in times of these. It was quite exciting, actually. Do you have a favorite of what was announced of the new novel, of the new products?
So honestly, talking about the fairs, first coming to that, I think what Watches and Wonders did was great. People talk about the fact that the fairs are going to die out and, it's all going to be digital and virtual. But I really don't think so. I think it has to come back because I also feel like there's something like touching and feeling the watches.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff like, for example, on my perspective, maybe I'm not their biggest buyer, but I write about their watches. Now, I can write that much by looking at a piece, by looking at a picture, right? But when you actually put it on your wrist and see how it feels, I think that's when you sort of understand. I'll give you an example of that. So when Lange, I'm a huge fan of Lange, and when they I love Lange. So when they launched the Odysseus, I was actually very disappointed. And I was like, why would they do that? And, I have so much respect for that brand. And I met the team in Dubai, and I was really disappointed. And I met with them, and fortunately, they're all friends. And I said, guys, like, really, the Odysseus, like, why would you do something like that to the brand? And they just told me one thing. They're like, go to the Dubai Mall, try it on, put it on your wrist, and call us. And I promise you, my view completely changed. The minute I put that watch on my wrist, I was like, okay, I get where they're coming from. I think the fairs are something that is not going to die out, and I don't think it should. I mean, what Watches and Wonders did was fantastic. It was fabulous. We got a chance to interact with everyone, I think, even more directly, through here. Generally, we do the interviews and we talk to the CEOs, and then we print it a little later. This was a great platform in that context. But my favorites, there's so many. I actually genuinely liked so many. There was the the Vacheron Overseas, the skeleton.
Very nice piece, yeah.
Beautiful. It was so beautiful. And I mean, considering I don't like slim watches, I just thought it was really sexy. I think it was thin. It was like, with the whole integrated bracelet.
Yeah.
I thought there was something very sexy about that watch. On the contrary to that, the Zeitwerk, I thought that was beautiful too, with the blue dial.
Yeah, very nice as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and IWC did a couple of really nice references. Again, the burgundy, I don't know till I don't see it, so I don't want to say anything about it. I was a little confused about that. But great references. They brought down the dial sizes also.
Very so nice, yeah.
I guess that's going to sort of attract a newer audience. They've also, I think, priced it really well.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they and Jaeger did a great job in pricing their models compared to other brands.
Right, yeah. So. Yeah, that's another question. Like, we got a lot that, you know, considering the situation we're in, do you think the brands are going to drop their pricing? And I really don't think so. And no. I really don't think they have. And I don't even think that's going to be their strategy, honestly. Yeah. It's really not, and of course, yes, I cannot not mention the Panerai 70 years collection.
Yeah. I mean, it's very cool. I've been a Panerai fan for a long, long time. I just feel, I mean, I love what they did. I love their new approach. I love what they do with the materials and everything. But I'm also in these different kind of Facebook groups with all the Panaristi and stuff like that. And what you hear a lot from them is that the pricing on these models was a bit too high for that. I think they would have done it more, or they could have done more in introducing one model that was below the 10,000 euro range. But other than that, I mean, it's a fantastic product. If you see the Loom, I'm really excited to see it.
Have you seen the Loom?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Loom like in person?
No, unfortunately not. But yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it sometime. I should have seen it a bit earlier, but unfortunately, due to the situation.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about seeing the Loom on that, especially the stitching on the strap, because I want to know how that works. And, you know, does it like fade over time? And because it's quite cool as a concept, but I mean, how sustainable is the question.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean... It's a cool thing that they did with the 70 years and also the warranty and everything. It's
the
really, really cool.
70-year warranty.
Yeah.
Everyone has bashed so much, but I think it's pretty cool. I don't think it's so much to do with the 70 years. I just think it's like an ode to the legacy of the Luminor more than anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, but it was pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of nice. Right. Even the Santos watches this year. Pretty cool as well. So I think most of the brands, no one was like, let me just say, nobody was very, very disappointing this year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You had a lot of things that would cater to a broad audience, I would say.
Yeah. And so generally, you just have brands sort of extending their portfolio. So you just have different colors coming out and different variations coming out. I also think a lot of brands have a lot more to come up in the future. You know, they've just held on. Like Zhejiang, for example, I'm pretty sure they have an extension to the Reverso. I'm pretty sure they have an extension to the Polaris as well. But they've sort of like held everything back for now.
True. But that's also the cool part about the independents, I think, that they can really, they can just do what they want, basically, in terms of expanding their ranges in terms of functionalities or innovations. That's cool. I really like that about them. And if you look at what for example, HYT with their liquid MDNF, I mean, what they're doing is amazing as well. Or Constantin Chacun with the Joker, for example. I mean, it's cool. It's very cool. But you will not see this from a bigger brand.
Yeah, definitely not. I think because they have their limitations and they, I guess they have to stick by certain guidelines. I mean, they can push the bar to a certain point, but also production, the indies have smaller productions, so they can sort of experiment. Also, that's why one of the reasons why I enjoy working with them is because there's so much creativity involved with the indies. Even like brands like Christophe Clare. I mean, he does beautiful watches. I think he's never given the credit that he deserves, but if you look at his poker watch and you look at the Extreme X that he's done, or even the Margot that he created for women, I mean, it's beautiful watches that they create. And that's actually the Indies was one of the reasons why I got so involved and passionate about watches. And I remember it was Othlons back in the day. I think it was 2003, 2004, I don't remember. And they didn't participate in Baselworld. They were at a small place outside Baselworld. And I just happened to visit them and I just fell in love with the whole TV screen shaped concept of watches. And I think that just got me started.
Very cool. Do you have a watch that you would buy next? Do you have something on your wish list that you would say, this would be a piece that I'd love to add to my collection?
You know, a piece that would, I keep telling people, a piece that would be it for me. And yeah. I'd stop buying watches after that, which is not true. I won't stop buying watches. But the day I can afford it would definitely be the original Zeitwerk.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Yeah. The actually last year in, I've never had Lange on my radar that much.
Yeah.
But last year when I was able to visit, the famous cup. So enjoy your coffee. I have some too. And last year when I was able to visit SIHH, I had the opportunity. I ran into Christian and he was mm-hmm. wearing his Zeitwerk, and I saw it the first time in the flesh. And then I had the opportunity to visit the Lange booth as well, and was introduced to all products that they have to offer, and it was really amazing. And since then, I have been going back to every Lange boutique I find in the cities I visit. And so earlier this year, I went to Hong Kong, and I went to their boutique to try on the Odysseus. And I had the same experience as you did. Mm-hmm. I did not like it at first. The dial was nice, and I loved the windows for the day and the date, but I did not like the integrated bracelet. I'm more of a strap guy in that sense, and I tried it on, and it really feels amazing. Mm-hmm. I still would swap out the integrated bracelet for a strap, but what they did now, I also really, really like. I love the rubber bracelet they did, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's another trend I'm seeing. A lot of quick release strap change systems happening with brands, which I think is also great. I mean, you need to offer that luxury or no, because people are looking. I mean, I was on a chat recently where people were asking about whether retailers are going to start offering more discounts in a situation like that and stuff. And I think offering discounts is not the answer, but you got to add some value to what you're offering your customer now. And that's definitely a way to go down, because discounts is something that, you know, people say it's an Indian thing, but I don't think it's an Indian thing. I think it's world over. Everyone wants to know where they're going to get the best deals from, right?
Of course.
So, I mean, instead of offering a discount, you add some extra value to the product that you're offering your customer. And I think that's the way forward. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
So adding new straps, even with Panerai, I think they do some lovely straps, colorful straps.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. Very cool. I did do some research. I know that you're now the member of the Grand Prix d'Horlogerie for this year. Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
I really don't know. No. So they've been inviting me for the GPHG for a few years now. It never really happened. It just happened so that it always happened during a certain time of the year where I couldn't travel. And this year, last year, in fact, I said, let me just go check it out, because I always see it through press releases and see it, see pictures of it. And I went there this time and I experienced what it was like. And I promise you, it felt like the Oscars.
Yeah.
It absolutely felt like this whole red carpet. And you felt like you were at you know, the watchmaking Oscars. And it was a good experience, and I guess that's where they sort of connected with me, and we had a couple of talks, and I guess they decided to include me as a member.
Very cool.
But it was fun. It was interesting. It was, I think it's a good initiative, the GPHG. You know, it's kind of the boost that, especially in times like that, it's the right kind of boost that you need from a brand perspective.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too, and I really enjoy so. We're very fortunate in Austria because we've won a couple of times with the Hablings.
Oh, you have, yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. And actually, they live very near to where my actual hometown is in Austria. So that's cool. And I've unfortunately never visited their studio where they create the watches.
Okay.
But I hope I can do this year.
Yeah. No, there were some very interesting watches that were selected for GPHG last year. I can't remember the name of one of them, but the other one was Ming. And to be honest, that was the first time I was actually introduced to a brand like Ming. And I was, for a micro brand, I was completely blown away by the work that they did.
Very cool. And you do YouTube as well, or mainly, right?
I recently started, recently 8 months ago.
Yeah.
I started YouTube. I'm horrible with the camera. I hate the camera.
No.
I get so camera shy. It's not funny. So my strength has always been writing So I've been writing, and I have magazines in India. I have magazines in Australia, and we have a website as well. So I love writing. I can write, and I like being behind the scenes is sort of my thing. But of course, like, the team got together and they said, you know, you have a little bit of credibility and maybe you should like put yourself out there and explain complications to people, because and particularly, I guess, coming from a woman, a lot of people get sort of taken aback because, you know, it's a guy thing. So even now when I sort of get on forums, a lot of people get shocked and they're like, but, you know, like, it's great to have a woman on board. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I've been doing this for 17 years. What do you mean it's great to have a woman on board?
Yeah.
So, So I started my YouTube channel and I started it basically to explain watches, to explain complications in a language that somebody who's aspiring to buy a complication, who can afford to buy a complication, would understand.
Yeah.
So by not using terms that are very complicated, which probably you and me would understand, but, you know, somebody who has the finances to buy it, but is embarrassed to actually get into the store and ask about it because he doesn't know how to pronounce it or he doesn't know what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was actually the main idea why I got started with my YouTube channel. And then, of course, Instagram and all of that. Yeah.
No, but I think you've done a great job with it. I watched some videos earlier and I really like them because they, I feel that every person that is putting themselves out there is just a means of practice.
It's hard.
Yeah, I know. I was in the same situation. To be quite honest, when I started these live shows, I wasn't particularly very confident in front of cameras. I did a couple of YouTube things, and I don't normally show me that much. Photography is fine. There's no problem. But when I started this, I think now it's 2 months ago, I had some problems, like, talking to myself a little bit. And then it gets better over time.
It does.
I think the more you practice, the more the better you get. And you've got something to tell. You've got stories to tell. And you have a very nice attitude in doing it. So you should definitely continue.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's great because I think it's also great to connect with people. Like, I met you through Christian, and I'm sure I'll meet people through you. And I think the watch community is such a, not a small, but I think like Christian mentioned when I was interviewing him, we're like a tribe.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to like stick together and ride it out. And I think it's really important. I mean, people use this hashtag on Instagram a lot called WatchFam.
Yeah.
But I really think it's true. You know, they're like these few people who, from my perspective, who every year that we travel to Baselworld or SIHH, they're those people that you meet every single year. And it's like a little tribe. It's like a little family that you look forward to meeting twice a year, every year.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
Very true. I was talking to Daniel from the Shanghai Watch Gang, and he also said something very, very cool. He said that basically the watch itself is just a mechanical piece, but the cool part are the people behind it that actually tell the stories through the watches. And the same goes for the people creating the watches, as goes for the people wearing the watches or buying the watches. So
absolutely.
I totally agree.
Absolutely. I mean, when you talk to the CEO of a brand who's very passionate about his brand and he knows exactly what he's talking about and he knows exactly what he should be saying and should not be saying.
Yeah.
But then you talk to the watchmaker or you talk to the owner, for example, every time I spoke to Walter Lange, for example, but I mean, didn't really speak because he didn't speak English and was always translated from German for me. I was always blown away by him. Like, he had so much passion. Not that the CEO doesn't, he's a fabulous CEO as well. He's very passionate about Lange, but it just comes very differently from Walter Lange than it would, you know, from someone else. And I think that's what really matters. And it's all about the passion at the end of the day, you know, when people talk about looking at watches as an investment, I get it. especially right now. I mean, your investment is either the Daytona or the 5711. That's all the investment everyone's looking at right now. But I think it's more than that. I think it's about passion. It's about what drives, I guess, the heart of the watch.
Yeah.
For me, it's that. It sounds crazy and it sounds stupid and people don't generally get it. But I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it has a lot of emotional value as well. I think that especially in the more premium priced watches where you really have these amazing people creating the watch and putting so much effort and so much time into them, that I feel it's like a container. You put a lot of effort and love into this small container, and then you pass it on to the person who buys it or who wears it. And then you as a wearer can put in more in terms of your stories or your experiences with the watch. And I think that goes, I think that resembles the community as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just build your tribe. I think that's what it's all about.
Definitely. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I have one more question I'd like to ask you. I know that you have a second passion other than your watch passion, and that's fitness. So my question for you is, how do you stay fit in these times?
So I'm a bit of, I enjoy working out a lot. So I sort of built my own little gym and sort of bought weights over time and kept it at home. So in times of emergency, which I did not expect, but yeah. like you can see, it's happened. So I enjoy working out. I do a lot of online workouts. I do, I love weight training. So I have a lot of weights at home and I lift a lot of weights. I miss my gym a lot though, if they're listening. But I enjoy working out. I work out sometimes twice a day. In the beginning, honestly, when the whole lockdown started and we really had no direction and I didn't know what way we're going to go in, because to be honest, a big part of my business is YouTube, but it's also print. And of course, print had come to a complete standstill since 45 days now.
Yeah.
And I'm lost and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. So I had a lot of time on hand. So I was working out twice a day, completely losing my mind, which I don't recommend, by the way. but I guess through over time, it sort of settled in. And, you know, these live chats that happened to come my way, a lot of great CEOs that I connected with, some friends on Instagram, and it sort of given me some direction. So now I don't have the time to work out twice a day. But I do try and push in like one workout. And I think it's important, not just to stay fit, but also for your like mental, for your sanity. You just gotta keep it balanced. And I think working out really helps.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. I think I have a similar experience. I'm not that super fit a guy in terms of, I don't work out every day. But I have the same experience because I used to travel a lot during the year, and now I cannot. I have to stay home, so I need to do something in exchange for everything else. So it does help a lot.
I miss that too. But like I used to try, even when I traveled, I used to travel once a month.
Yeah.
But I think the last time I traveled internationally was probably at Dubai Watch Week, which was in November. So I'm sulking about that.
Yeah.
But even when I'm traveling, I try and push in an hour of exercise in the day, because it sort of clears your mind.
Yeah, you know, that's true. Thing?
And the field that we're from, we see 100 watches and there's so much information to like store in there before you pen it down or type it out. So you need that sort of clarity. And I think, that's one of the reasons I love working out. Yeah. Very I'm not cool. as fit as I want to be, but I love working out.
But then again, doing it for a long time will definitely get there.
Yeah, for sure. But I recommend it for sure, definitely.
Perfect. So thank you very much for this chance to chat to you.
It's good. I have to also say, Nicola, you're doing a fabulous job yourself.
Thank you very much.
I watched some of your interviews. I had a blast watching your interview with Christian, obviously.
But it was a lot of fun.
Christian is a lot of fun.
He's
very entertaining. But I did also happen to go through the rest of your interviews, and it's very interesting, the kind of information that you put out there as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I will. And same goes for you. Please continue your your YouTube videos. I really like them.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise.
Hope we can do this again soon.
We should. This was fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't stressful at all.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And have a nice evening.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. So this was the interview with Kari from Kari Watch, and it was a really, really nice interview. I was very, very looking forward to this, and it was very nice to get to know her and to meet her, even though if it's in a digital way. I hope you liked it. Again, if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. If you have any feedback regarding these interviews or suggestions for new guests, please feel free to let me know as well. I hope you all have a nice evening.